I'll make it do what it do, fellas.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. That's 75 that minutes of sports talk on the planet.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody else fighting for second place.
Mike for the win.
America, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man, Wednesday, October the 18th, and we are ready to kick this thing off, man. Oh, man. We got a lot of things to discuss. NBA, some football, some baseball. Man, you name it, we are ready officially to go. So without further ado, I'm one of your hosts here, Andre. Let's kick it in with my other three awesome co-hosts, and let's kick it off with JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir? You doing all right?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there. I can't complain. Just, you know, trying to erase that foolishness from last night out of my memory banks, but all good. I'm good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Trying to erase foolishness from Sunday, man, but it's all good. Mr. Rob, how are you
doing?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, holding
the conversation.
Man, no complaints here. Ready to make it do what it do.
There it is.
That's 75 minutes of sports talk. Let's make it happen.
Let's do it. Big Mike, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Hey, appreciate y'all having me. Appreciate to feel part of the family. It's a good time of year to be a sports fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, bro, you definitely in the fam, man. So, you know, we appreciate you. I've got a slight migraine, so I'm going to kind of like sit back and kind of let you guys do your thing, man. So if I don't talk as much, that's okay. So just bear with me at that, too. But we're going to have some fun with this, too. So anyway, it's all good. We'll make it work. I am sucking it up, man, you know. So it's all good, man. So, man, Rob, I'm just saying.
Hey, even if we got to carry you off the court like Pippen carried Jordan off, man, you got to still bring the A game.
We're going to put him in a wheelchair like Paul Pierce.
I'm going to come out like the flu to still be scoring. And remember, I'm still on the show. All it is is like one little button and it's a three-man show again. So just keep that in mind, bro. So it's all good, man. So,
tell you what, man, I had my physical for work yesterday, my biometric physical. I got the flu shot, you know, did the whole thing. And I felt worse today. I mean, I'm finally coming out of it, but after getting the flu shot, you'd think that thing would help. And, man, I felt like garbage all day today.
It never helps. The flu shot always gives you the flu.
It gives you the flu. It's how it gives your immunity.
You what?
That's what it does. Yeah. That's exactly what it does, bro. It gives you the flu, so it weakens your immune system. So it's supposed to strengthen
last
you after
time,
that, but it's craziness.
Last time I take it.
Yeah.
There it is,
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's craziness. All right, but like I said, hopefully if you need to, like, check in with us, that's okay, too. But, again, let me throw out the numbers, the 424-243-9519 to reach out to your boys. We're on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and then finally Facebook.com/TalkingSports12Men. You will find us in that arena as well. All right, gentlemen, let's get this party started here. Let's get a quick update on the ACLS. Rob, do your thing, bro. Go ahead, since I know you're all excited about your Yankees, bro.
Well, yeah, the young Yankees, three in a row in this series after falling behind 2-0 to the Astros. Big 5-0 win today to go up 3-2. Obviously, game 6 will be back here in Houston. And hopefully the Yankees will close the deal out in 6 games. What a remarkable story. I mean, yeah, obviously you thought this would be somewhat of a rebuilding year for the Yankees, but obviously the future is now.
Yeah,
I don't know about all that. They eventually gonna hit their stride. Yeah, go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, you gotta put the Houston offense on the milk carton, because where has it been? It's just totally gone down the train, and they can't win on the road. I mean, I think they only won one in Boston, and then you know, they've lost all three there in Yankee Stadium. It's not a good look for them right now. I don't know what's happening with that Houston offense. Altuve and Correa and Springer and McCann. Where are y'all at? You know, you gotta do something, make it interesting.
Yes, sir. Big Mike, you want to comment on that, bro?
Yeah, you know, the rest of you are, well, I know Rob and JQ, you're stats guys. I'm more of a feel guy. You know that from hearing me talk. Man, I thought the Yankees were down and out. And looking at them the last couple games, man, they look like the real deal again all of a sudden. And Houston, I thought, was going to win the World Series, to be honest, going into the as much as I love the Cubs, I thought Houston had it all. But, man, the Yankees have turned it around. And what about Aaron Judge? Maybe we can go right into that.
Yeah, even yesterday's game when they fell behind, I believe it was 3-0 or 4-0. It didn't look so good to them. And of course, Aaron Judge kind of kickstarted it with the solo home run yesterday. Then Gary Sanchez got involved and drove in some runs and you know, the two game winning runs and things of that nature yesterday. But you know, it was looking very much so like Houston was going to go up 3-1 on yesterday, and the tables turned. The Yankees tied the series up and then came back today and shut them out. And now up 3-2.
The Yankees,
yeah, man,
got,
do you believe in
the Yankees
magic?
Got right,
yeah,
now, what, as, like I said, as a feel, an observer that feels things, the Yankees got resolve right now. They have showed a ton of resolve in the last couple games, and they're right there. They're in it to win it, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I'll give you that too, because again, it seems like literally all series guys have been overcoming a lot of challenges, because number one, beating obviously getting in number one, and then turning around and one of the favorites, who was Cleveland, you know, and so they did their thing with Cleveland, and then on that humongous streak, mm-hmm. and then now they're, you know, like you said, going against Houston. So I'm not quite saying that you know, they're going to, you know, win the series, but they definitely have that resolve, like you said, Big Mike. And it does feel like it could be a magical season too, man. So we'll keep an eye on that. I know, Rob, you're pretty excited about that. And I guess writing to the next topic, is Aaron Judge a franchise player? And I'm sure we know the answer to this, but again, I'll leave it to you, Rob, and give your thoughts to this, and JQ just kind of tee it up after that on deck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously the first half of the season, I mean, he was having a monstrous season. Then right after the All-Star break, kind of struggled a little bit, and then started to get hot again right before the playoffs. And up until these last couple of games, he's been fairly quiet here in the playoffs. But I think long-term, yes, I think the answer is yes, he will be a franchise player. I mean, that monstrous shot he hit in yesterday's game, the straight center, man, that was something incredible. Yeah, I think the answer is yes. Going forward, he's going to be the centerpiece of that lineup, definitely from a power-hitting standpoint. I believe he's 25 years old, and I believe, you know, from an all-star standpoint, he probably could probably be an all-star for the next 10 to 12 years for this Yankees team. And overall, this is a fairly young team, and you know they're going to have money to spend around them. And so I would say, you know, he's definitely a franchise player, and the future looks pretty bright for the Yankees.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you can't knock that. And, you know, his slump, I always attribute it to that home run derby, because when those guys get in that home run derby, it's the proof is in the pudding. They struggle a lot of times in the second half of the season trying to get back to swinging correctly, as opposed to just launch home runs to put on the show. So I think you can attribute some of that to his slump. But absolutely, in today's baseball, where you're not really asking, you know, most players to lay down bunts or necessarily go the other way, you know, it's okay to strike out. It's a strikeout, double home run kind of league right now, if we're being honest with it. And he fits that to a T. And let's not be remiss about his defense in right field. He has made some mistakes, but he's dropped some home runs. He's made some fantastic plays in the field as well that you can't ignore. So I would definitely say the Judge is somebody you can build around. And, yeah, you can't get him. And on name recognition alone, to your point, Rob, once you have that kind of aura and profile nationally, he's going to get that fan vote, I believe, especially coming out of that New York market with his home run power. So, unequivocally, yes, he's a franchise player for the Yankees. You would have to back up the truck to get him away from the Yankees at this point.
Go, Big Mike.
Y'all know me. I'm going to go off topic for just 5-10 seconds, and I'm going to give a shout-out to Cleveland Indians fans, because, man, they – They have waited for a long time. They got they kind of blew the World Series to my Cubs last year, and they blew the series to the Yankees this year. So a shout-out to them. That's all I'm going to say. That wow. being said, Aaron Judge, man, there's no way he's not a franchise player. You look at a young guy like him that took the league by storm first half of the season and went cold, and then to come back and have the performance that he's had in the last couple weeks, even struggling into the playoffs to begin with, and then come back and perform the way he's done, man, you can't say enough about the kid. I mean, he's young. He's got the mentality of a seasoned veteran, as far as I'm concerned, to come back from some of the things that he's gone through. And franchise player, yeah, 10 years for sure. I don't see how you can't agree with that.
Yep, we all.
I think the exciting thing for the Yankees is Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge, for the most part, have been fairly quiet in these playoffs, and all of a sudden they're getting hot. And so that could be a good thing for them going forward, and a not so good thing for the Astros. But I think overall,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob.
But I think overall, when it's all said and done, I know we're getting ready to get to the NLCS. I still think it's going to be hard pressed for them to be, if they advance, to be the Dodgers.
Mm. Yeah, we're going to be right to it.
Just to top off what you were saying, Rob. You know, every Superman or every Batman's got a Robin, and I'm not sure whether Judge or Sanchez is the Batman or the Robin right now, but those two complement each other really well. And if the Yanks can hold on to both of them, keep them around, and they got the money to do it, man, that's a tough tandem to try to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, on to the NLCS, if that's where we're going.
Yeah, go ahead. You don't let you have it.
You want me to start this one off?
Yep. Go ahead.
So it's been a rough couple of days for me as a Cubs and a Packers fan. I told Jaquan earlier this week that I was taking one more day of mourning through Tuesday to mourn Aaron Rodgers' injury. And of course, the Cubs haven't done. You know, I was kind of leaning on the Cubs to come back, and I'm not watching the game right now. Last I saw it, it was 3-1. Bunch of solo home runs in the game tonight. If the Cubs can win tonight and maybe win one tomorrow night, I think we got a new series. But I don't like the Cubs' chances trying to win both of them in L.A.
Yeah, winning four in a row is tough.
Yep. But they have a 3-1 lead here, and the bottom of the seventh. No, I'm sorry, top of the seventh. So we'll see if the Cubs can hold on. Jake Arrieta is still on the mound.
Don't want to see him get swept. If we can get one, I don't want to see the Cubs get swept. That's my only prayer at this point.
Yeah, I hear you.
We got two outs for runners on first and second.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah.
Don't tell him anymore. Don't tell him no more, Rob.
I was waiting for you.
Somebody's going with the left-hander.
Somebody
coming out of the bullpen.
Somebody text me about 12:30 in the morning or whenever this game is over. Somebody text me and tell me what happened.
All right, I got you.
Oh, wow. Anything else? Any more updates for that? We good?
No, not really. I mean, the Dodgers they're doing it. Yeah, they're doing the Cubs right now. The Cubs got to wake up. Yeah,
it is what it is. All right, gentlemen. And like I said, too, you know, I just want to piggyback on the last thing, too, to talk about really quickly about Aaron Judge and the fact that just like New York keeps getting those players. They had one, obviously, getting Derek Jeter now. They're going to go right back in that, too. So, you know, Judge, Sanchez, they're going to get that same type of thing. So I was going to make a quick point about that, too. But all good. Yeah. All right, guys, let's kick into some NBA stuff. And we're going to recap some stuff tonight. We're going to recap kind of a tragic situation that happened with the Celtics. But first and foremost, Rob, you want to kick it off with your Pelicans at the Grizzlies and the recaps about that, sir?
Yeah, Elvin Gentry still needs to be fired. Pelicans still not playing any defense. And they still don't have any depth. Obviously, losing Rajon Rondo out 4 to 6 weeks is not helping them either. But the Grizzlies actually, you know, outside of Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, have a lot of depth on that basketball team. Actually surprised me a good bit tonight, and maybe they are going to be a little bit better than I expected this season. I thought they would fall off a little bit this season. Yeah, it's early, but yes, you know, Elvin Gentry still needs to go.
Yeah, I'm with you. How do you not make Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis work? I can see the argument of, okay, last year they got thrown together at the All-Star break. It takes time to gel. It didn't work out. But you had all offseason to come out like that and lose. I mean, you've got to have a better showing than that. And I understand what you're saying about Rondo, but come on, man. Whoever, you know, is Demp still the GM? You still got to put some other pieces around them.
Yep.
They have too much talent with those two guys. Yeah, they got too much talent in those two for you to be beat by 12. Even if it's an opener, yeah, you feel like they would come out with a little bit more passion and urgency of, okay, we got to make this work because we want to keep both these guys. And we've seen in the NBA, these guys are able to force a trade and will leave on you in a heartbeat. And if they see it's not working and they're losing games, they don't want to keep putting out those losses on their ledger. They're going to move on. So I'm with you, Rob. They got to do something to show those two guys that they're committed to winning and able to win.
Absolutely. You're right. You have to blame both the GM and the head coach. Dell Demps have not done a good job putting pieces around those two players. And Gentry, I don't think he's ever been a good coach from the jump.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
I'll
tell you what I feel about that, Rob. Come on, man.
Yeah, don't hold back.
He's never had a team that plays good defense, and I don't think it's ever going to happen either.
Gotcha. Big Mike, what you got, bro? Yeah.
Man, I got to plead ignorant here, but I think Rob just told me everything I needed to know. I haven't really started paying attention to the NBA yet, other than what happened on opening night. But I think I'll disagree with Rob.
Yeah, that's his team. He knows better than we do.
Yeah, and I pretty much watched the entire game.
Right, I'm going to defer to Rob.
what, do you have a squad for basketball, Big Mike, or no?
You know, growing up, I was a huge Bulls fan. I was Michael Jordan era. Right now, I'd like to see. I'm going to go off on a tangent. So I don't know if you really want my opinion. I don't really have a squad. I would like to see it be a little more competitive rather than the super teams. I mean, the super teams are fun, but I'd like to see the NBA have a little bit more parity throughout the season than just looking forward to the playoffs. That's kind of my take right now.
Not a Milwaukee Bucks fan, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 37
never
points tonight. The Greek Freak put on the show in Beantown tonight.
I know the big names in the league. I know the Bucks got the Greek Freak. The end of the year for me is football. So I got to plead ignorant. I hope y'all don't mind me just bowing out of this conversation. But I don't.
No,
I haven't paid any attention to the NBA right now.
No,
that's
fair
cool.
enough.
I mean, no, we get you. We're just like I said, we're gonna give you opportunity to speak your mind here. But I will say too, it is interesting in the fact that. Whenever you go back and you look at, like, I know that I was a huge Michael Jordan era, you know, fan too. But and ironically, those teams were more – you knew the teams. It was either the Lakers or Celtics or certain squads that were always showing up too. That's kind of an interesting thing. You talk about parity now, and I don't think it was as much parity back then as it is. Now there are super teams now. There's more team play back then, but it does seem like it is interesting how that kind of plays out too. But, yeah, good call.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think when you look historically at the NBA, though, I think for the most part, going into every NBA season, you know there's five teams that's probably got a chance to win the championship, to whereas in football it might be a little bit different, and where you can go into the season thinking in the NFL that 15 teams have a chance to win the Super Bowl. But, you know, going into this season, everybody knows that in the Western Conference it's Golden State, and in the pinch, if something just so happens to happen to a player for Golden State, there's probably only two other teams in the West, Houston, OKC maybe San Antonio. And then the East is just Cleveland and Boston. So, I mean, I mean, you go into the season, the NBA has always been like that. If you go back to the 80s, yeah, it's either going to be Boston or the Lakers. And So the NBA has always been that type of league to where, as you know who the championship contenders are going through the season, and you don't expect any surprises. Whereas the NFL, you could have a surprise practically every year.
Yeah, and if you really think about it.
I'll pose this to the three of you. Does Houston or OKC have the best chance to knock off Golden State if they have a chance?
Well, I'll tell you what. Houston last night, I watched a good piece of that game. I watched it about halftime because it was so late. But Houston hung tough when Golden State got their rings and they came out on fire. Swaggy P, I think, had 6 3-pointers. I mean, they were just raining on Houston in the first half. And they came back and won that game. And that showed me a lot about Houston. Again, let's not get too crazy because it's game one.
Yeah.
But the fact that you go into Oakland and beat them on when they're getting those rings and everybody's super hyped, and they start the game like a house on fire, and you find a way to weather that storm, that showed me a lot about Houston's moxie and their resolve, and that is what they had.
Resolve, yep, that's the word, resolve right there.
Yeah, but, you know, okay, see, it's going to take time for those three to gel. So the thing about that for them is, can they avoid being in that 4 or 5 slide where they get Golden State in the first round, in the second round? If you want to be honest, you don't want to play Golden State until you got to play Golden State. So you want to get them in the Western Conference Finals. Can they get a good enough record and put all those pieces together to be able to do that? But I'm with you, Rob. It's to the point, and it's always been like that. I mean, the Lakers and the Celtics almost have half combined total of the NBA titles in NBA history. So, I mean, you always have had that, you know, 5-17 look of like, okay, everybody else is pretty much playing for, you know, a late lottery pick or whatnot at best. So it's not really surprising to see that. I just think you're getting so many more bigger names where back then you had more stars that just led their teams. And they had some good complementary players, but you didn't feel like they had just stacked the team. And whenever a team got stacked, it felt like it was late in their career, especially if you look like Houston getting Barkley and Pippen late in their years trying to grab a ring with, you know, Elijah Wan. You kind of get those late forming super teams. Right now we're getting super teams with these dudes in their prime. So that's kind of more of the difference
right
now versus back then.
Yeah.
Anything else to add, anyone? We're moving topics.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
All right, let's do the next one, Hawks and Mavericks. Rob, you have any comments on this one? I'll let you start with that.
Well, having the NBA league pass kind of helps. You can flip over to any NBA game. So I did flip over a little bit of that game. And obviously the Hawks getting a good role win over Dallas.
Yep.
And, it was interesting seeing Dennis Smith, the rookie point guard for Dallas. He looks like he's going to be a pretty solid player for the Mavs. But other than that, looked like the Hawks went on the road and played some good team ball and got a win.
Yes, sir. This is an Ohio player. But, yeah, I mean, Dirk Nowitzki is like 53. So, I mean, we got to just go ahead and put that Mavericks team as not going to really be a contender. That's still a good win for Atlanta to go on the road anytime and get a win. It's a good win, especially in the home opener because, you know, that crowd is going to be super jazzed. So, I mean, that's an impressive win by the Hawks who, I mean, I'm sorry, Dre, I don't think a lot of people are expecting a whole lot out of this year. So you see where they can go with that. I mean, I don't know if you watched any of it, but
no,
I did not. I just looked at the final. Like I said, anytime you can go on the road and get a win, you know, you take it.
Yeah, I mean, pretty low expectations because, again, you know, they're throwing around the R word, which is rebuilding, and you hate to hear that. But, you know, they're trying to, like, get a lot of young players. And, you know, Dallas is kind of interesting because I know Dirk is kind of holding off, but, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. has been a great player. I think he's going to be a pretty dynamic player as he grows. And, you know, Harrison Barnes, there's a couple pieces, but, again, they're not quite there yet, too. So I know it's early. Like we talked about, we've all reiterated that it's early in the season for a lot of teams. So we'll start kind of getting into our grooves. And I don't expect too much from the Hawks, too, man. So we'll talk about some futures and players. I mean, I'm looking at, like, Michael Porter Jr., man. That's what I'd like to get, man. But we'll see later on down the road as far as that, too. So
you ain't even a real Hawks fan with your Golden State bandwagon. We're not even going to get on you.
What do you mean? What do you mean I'm not a Hawks?
Yeah,
come on.
He knows.
Rob
knows. Rob
stuttering, JQ. You got him stuttering now.
Rob can have five teams.
Hey, keep
Rob can have five teams.
That comment came from Jaquan.
Hey, I'm a Pelicans fan.
Clay Matthews jersey back from Green Bay.
Hey, you pipe down. Somebody put him on mute.
I'm just saying. I don't have like 20 squads, you know.
Talk about bandwagon fans, so JQ.
Yeah, you shush.
There it is. What about bandwagon fans, Mike? Mike, tell me more about this, bro. What you got, bro?
He ain't talking about nothing. He ain't talking about nothing. You're just trying to deflect the conversation off you and your Golden State bandwagon. You probably got one of those warm ups yesterday.
I wasn't,
but it's all good. But I'm gonna support him because that's in the family, so it's all good. So I'm being straight up, man. It's something I gotta hide, you know. It's all good. Let's talk about the Celtics.
Dre. Be you.
That's right, man. That's right. That's what I'm gonna do. All right. This was a pretty interesting subject, and I don't know if you guys had it. See, that was kind of a terrible injury. It did kind of elicit some bad things with Joe Theismann, and back in the day, man. But Gordon Hayward, and I guess let's talk about the chances of Celtics, because after it happened, you can tell it took the Celtics a minute to kind of get going. It was a really good game, but you could clearly tell they were a little like affected by this too, man. So, and everyone, there's a lot of outpouring of support and, you know, whatever. Good news is that he's going to make full recovery, but you're not sure how it's going to have implications for his future for Gordon Hayward. But I guess let's look at this. What's going to happen to the Celtics? I'm not saying it's just one of those crazy things too. So, Rob, what do you think about this injury and kind of the chances for the Celtics moving forward?
Well, obviously, you hate to see that as any sports fan, and I know we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers in a little bit too, but obviously, as a sports fan, you hate to see one of the better players in the league go out, whether you're a fan of that team or not. So obviously, it's a big blow, and obviously, prayers go out to Gordon Hayward and wish him a speedy recovery. And, I mean, this was a Celtic team that I know that we all have gone over on the offseason as, you know, will he beat Cleveland this year? Will he not beat Cleveland this year? And now I think it's safe to say that it's going to be hard for them to, if Cleveland stays healthy, to overtake Cleveland without Gordon Hayward. I saw some nice things out of, obviously they hung tough in that game with Cleveland, came back, you know, lost the game in the end. And they still have Kyrie Irving. They still have Al Horford. And they got some good young players on that team still. Jaylen Brown looked like he's improved his game. Jason Tatum looks like he's going to be a solid player in the league to come. Are they still a playoff team? Absolutely. Are they still a two seed? I think they still have a chance of being a two seed. I feel somewhere two to four. Got to watch that Milwaukee Bucks team, though. I think that's a team that can really elevate themselves to a two or three seed. And Milwaukee, of course, went on the road and beat Boston tonight. And obviously Boston just played last night, so I'm sure that had something to do with it too. But Milwaukee went into Boston to beat them by 9 points tonight. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he has the potential to be that
guy.
Name. That, yeah.
Hmm? I said, you say that name. Go ahead.
Say it 15 times. The Greek freak. Let's just go with the Greek freak. The Greek freak put on the show tonight, 37 points, and I mean, the guy can do it all, play defense, and everybody on that team is 6'10 and got a wingspan of over 8 feet and on the Milwaukee Bucks team. So they're a team to watch this year to move up into that 2, 3, or 4 slot as well. So definitely Boston is still a playoff team. I definitely think this injury hurts them. I think it removes them from winning the Eastern Conference for sure.
Yep. Good, JQ.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about it is I keep telling y'all, and I think he made that leap last year, and that's John Wall. I think that opens the door wide open for Washington to grab that 2 seed. That's my bet to take the 2 seed. I really think he made a leap last year. If they can just keep Bradley Beal healthy, they got a really solid young 1-2 punch as well that keeps getting overlooked. But I agree. I think Milwaukee's up in that conversation. I just don't want to overlook them. For Gordon Hayward, I'm a Lakers fan. I hate everything about the Boston Celtics, but I do not want to see that happen to anybody's player at any point in time ever. That was just – I couldn't even watch it. Once I saw the players' reaction on the court, when you see how they react, it lets you know how bad it was and how much they still have a brotherhood as much as they want to beat the other team. I mean, I just – there are no words I can give for that and how bad I felt for Gordon Hayward to have that happen to him. I hope he can look to Paul George and what Paul George has been able to do to rebound and use that as his motivation and kind of his, you know, guiding light, so to speak, to get back. But to Kyrie Irving, I look at him and I say, hey, be careful what you wish for, young fella, because now you got it. Because that guy that you were going to lean on, and it sucks, but he's gone now. So that I need to be my own guy. I need to be the leader of the team. I need it to be about me. Well, guess what, brother? It's all about you. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's able to grab more of a leadership role there and lead that young squad. Because, I mean, he's still young himself, but to all the players that Rob just mentioned, he's now the franchise guy, and they're going to be looking at him. It's going to be interesting to see how he's able to lead that team moving forward.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll reiterate, nobody likes to see what happened to him, man. I mean, Dre, I think it was you that said Theismann on accident, but that's exactly what that looked like. I mean, that was brutal to watch that. That was gruesome. Gruesome is the best word that I can say to describe that. My thoughts and prayers go out to him for a full recovery. I think it gives the opportunity, again, resolve for Irving, Horford, those guys to, you know, make the best of what they got. And they're definitely a playoff team, even without Hayward. I think they were probably the number two seed, a shoe-in maybe for the two seed. I don't know.
At worst, with the healthy
anymore.
People, I agree.
I don't know if they're the two seed anymore. I'm not sure whether I'm crowning either Washington or Milwaukee with the two seed. There's a long season to play. You know, that's why you play the games, you know, as the quote says. But, you know, you'd like to see the resolve of the Boston Celtics and like to see them come in maybe at the four, the three, the two seed, somewhere in there. Maybe, you know, it's a long season. There's no telling what's going to happen. Either way, best of luck to everybody. You know, like I said, I'm an NBA fan. I love basketball. JQ knows I play basketball three or four times a week. I love the game of basketball. I love to just see the competition of it all. I hate to see an injury like that, but I'd like to see some resolve out of Boston. And if they end up being the number two seed, that's awesome. I'm
Kyrie for MVP.
They do.
Yeah.
They get the two seed. Kyrie's got to be in it. Yeah. Go ahead.
And
maybe that's his chance to be the man. Maybe that's the chance that he's been waiting for to be the man.
Yep.
He asked for
see.
It. Now he's got it.
He's gonna carry everything, gentlemen, like we are all kind of animated. I am going to say, too, that, you know, 100% that I think that this definitely does affect them, though. It's still early. We're not sure how it's going to play out, if there's going to be someone else who's going to step up in Hayward's absence. I agree with you, Rob. I think that Milwaukee is, you know, that seed, that team, man, because, again, just – you know, the Greek freak, he's ready. I mean, I'm not saying that he's, you know, and like you said, it's one of those things, too. I'm keeping an eye on Washington, too. But I just think I like the way that Milwaukee's been playing, too. So that's going to be an interesting scenario, too, man. So they look kind of hungry and ready to go, too.
That's
man.
A big
so I know
jump,
a big
though.
I know.
That's
I know,
a big
I know,
jump.
I'm saying, but I know. Everyone's taking leaps. And they may not have everything, but I'm just saying they got enough talent, like I said, too. I mean, you go through your little ups and downs and everything like that with any squad. But I just think that this is – emotionally, I think it's tough for the Celtics to get over that. That's what I'm thinking. But, you know, again, long season.
Yeah.
If Kyrie can take that squad and put them on his back like you talked about, you know, we'll see how it plays out like we always say, too. Projections for the Timberwolves this season. Wow. I mean, Timberwolves made a lot of moves. Jeff Teague, Jimmy Butler.
Dre. Hey, Dre. Sorry,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you for just a second, but I've got to put y'all on mute. I'll be absent for about 5 minutes here, all right?
All right, good deal. Just don't have this. Don't have any hold music back there. All right,
Little Chicago.
Go ahead. Projections for the Timberwolves. And I'll start with you, Jake. Give your thoughts, bro.
And I read an interesting article today about Tom Thibodeau on ESPN. And the thing about it is, when we talk about from Milwaukee with the young fellas, the same thing with Minnesota. And will Tibbs run them into the ground? And that's really what got him ultimately big reason fired in Chicago is just playing too many minutes. I mean, I know they're young and they're getting paid a lot of money, but that's not how the NBA is really working right now. And the young guys are saying all the right things right now. But when you start getting into those back-to-backs and four games and six nights and you're playing all these minutes and Tibbs is like, nope, you're playing, you know, will that cause any friction? And can those guys continue to make the league? Jimmy Butler, I think, is a known quantity. And I think we know Cat is we think is ready to take the next step. But, you know, I know they also got Teague. You know, like, they have good pieces. But that Western Conference, man, and you just touched on the ride about Memphis maybe not being as bad as we thought they were. And we already talked about San Antonio. And we already talked about Houston. Of course, you start to end the conversation with Golden State. So you already talked about four teams right there, and only eight are making the playoffs, right? So, you know, in terms of their win projection, I think, you know, if we're being honest, for them sneaking in, you know, and getting some learning experience and getting the bumps and bruises along the way, I think 45 to 50 wins is about where I put them. That may be enough right now in the Western Conference. And I'm sorry about Portland as well. They're going to be fighting with them, you know, towards, I think, the bottom part of that in that Western Conference, that 5-8 spot. I think it's going to be really tight. I don't think it's going to take, you know, 55 wins to get in. I don't think it's going to be that because I think some teams like the Clippers are going to take a step back. But 45 to 50 wins, I'm just interested to see that dynamic with Tibbs and his, you know, nose to the grindstone mentality. Can he get them to play defense, which is they have not been doing at all, and commit to that and get enough offense? Because as many of the pieces we just talked about, they don't have a ton of shooters. And we're in a space and pace kind of NBA right now. And can they fit into that, or can they go into that Memphis kind of mindset with that grit and grind, and they make it about them and they force you to play their kind of game? So it's going to be interesting to see. That's one of the reasons why I'm excited about this NBA season, because I'm really interested to see what Minnesota does, because on paper they have a lot of good pieces, but I want to see if it translates to actual wins and losses.
Wow, good call. Rob, Jeff.
Oh, I was waiting on you, Andre. I didn't know if you fell asleep or not. But,
No. I was, you know, it's going to you next, so you might as well kick into that too. You know, I'm gonna let you, you know, like I said, you know what's happening. If I gotta like do the soft handoff, it's all good. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, they're in a dogfight right now in the game against the Spurs. Obviously, the Spurs don't have Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker playing tonight, but they're in San Antonio, only down by 1 point. But when you look at their roster, you can obviously see that the talent is there. When you talk about Andrew Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and you know, the players are definitely there in place for them to put together something here. I think when you look at their ceiling, I think best case scenario for them is to be about a 5 seed, and worst case scenario about an 8 seed. I think this team should definitely be in the playoffs. You got a veteran player in Jimmy Butler to add with some of those young pieces that they have as well. So you think that would be a quality mix for this team. And Jimmy Butler just hit a jump shot, take the lead over Spurs now, a one-point lead. But I agree with JQ's win projection. You know, 45, I think 50 will be about the ceiling for them, about the most, and the worst somewhere around 43, 44, 45. So I definitely see this team as a playoff team somewhere between a 5 to a number 8 seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
All right, good call. And
they got Jamal Crawford, too, another guy that can come off the bench and shoot the basketball for him. And maybe he's another guy that can provide some veteran presence for him.
Yeah, it's a good pickup. Good pickup.
All right. Next question here. This is an interesting topic. I love it. Will the NBA ever see another player like LeBron James? I think this is a kind of a tricky question because, you know, I don't think like physically a player like him, you know, at this juncture, but, you know, just everything, but I think it'll be like another superstar. But, you know, again, I'll let you guys kind of comment on that too. And I guess you can start, kick it off with that, Rob. Go ahead, man.
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, you can make a case that a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo could be that type of player. You know, when you talk about it, size and athleticism and some of the things that he's done. And by all means, this question is not to say that LeBron James is the best player of all time. I certainly don't believe that. I still think Michael Jordan is the best basketball player I've ever seen. When you talk about, you know, the will to drive a team to victory, as well as, you know, put the stats on the floor as well. But just some of the things that James has done in his career, just when you look at a few of the NBA finals over the last few years, will we ever see a player to lead the NBA finals in points, steals, points, assists, rebounds, steals, and blocks? I mean, that's incredible. And one year he did it where it was just points, assists, and rebounds. Then he came back the next year and did it points, assists, rebounds, steals, and blocks. I don't know if that would be hard for any player to do that again. And, I mean, you can make a case that that Magic Johnson was a similar player prior to him. So you can definitely make that case. But Magic Johnson, if you recall, was never a guy that had a lot of blocks and steals, and that's the element that James also would give you. But Magic would have the points, rebounds, and assists element to his game. So, I mean, it's a very tough question, obviously. There's always going to be somebody else to come through the ranks down the road that will be just as good or better. So I'm going to say at some point we will, but I don't see that. Antetokounmpo is probably the closest thing I think we can see that can possibly pull up those stats in all five categories as we speak.
Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. And that's what I'm saying is that, you know, I get the question because LeBron is just a freaking nature, and we tend to be a society that gets caught up in the moment of this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life when it's happening, and you kind of forget what happened before. Like, we look at it, and you look at what Oscar Robertson did, and it's like, oh, nobody do that. And then, you know, you get a Russell Westbrook and you get a Magic Johnson. Oh, well, you never get another, you know, Russell or Chamberlain, but then you get a Shaq that comes in and just dominates. And then, of course, you get a Magic and a Larry Bird, and then you get a Michael Jordan, and then you get a LeBron. So you have these pieces, and a Kobe. Don't ever let me forget Kobe. Slap my mouth for not putting him in that conversation before then. But you always have these pieces that come along, and you feel like you'll never see it again, and then you do. And I agree. I would think if the Greek Freak stays on his grind, he's got the best chance to be that next wave with him, if Davis can stay healthy, with Carlson and Towns. Like, you have these players that are just next generation that can do our multifaceted game, that can do almost everything on the court for you. So not to diminish what LeBron has done, but I want to take a step back and look at it and say, you know, I feel like, you know, the way guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster, able to lift more, they're more about their nutrition, they have more specialized coaches than they did back in the day. All those things tend to point you to you're going to get somebody like that coming down the road. He may not be born yet. He might be in preschool. Mm-hmm. But I think he's there, you know, if he's not in the NBA right now. You're going to see him. So, I just back up from that. I think you will. But that's not to diminish LeBron's greatness, and we should take it in and enjoy it while we have it. But I think we'll get somebody else that will also take up that mantle when it's time for him to go.
I mean, you even look at that game last night with 29 points, 16 rebounds, 9 assists, a couple of steals, blocks. He just puts it in as Clark Kellogg, one of your Ohio State friends, would say, he's a stat sheet stuffer.
Yes, he is. I appreciate y'all for letting him slide the eight. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Good call. That's good. That's great. I mean,
I'm back. I think the closest thing you're going to see is if Jaquan ever takes me on one-on-one in basketball.
Lord, this dude swears he woke up and was the mix between like Anthony Hardaway and Michael Jordan. He's just as delusional. let's just keep
Penny.
Going.
Not Penny.
Yeah, hey man, listen, Penny was a dude. People forget how cold Penny was. Penny was cold.
Mm-hmm. Penny was cold.
I'm totally in agreement with your point that you just made. You just don't know. I mean, there's always the next guy. You just don't know who he is right now.
Yeah, hold that thought. We gotta get this man. The show's been flying by. I was letting you finish your thought real quick. We gotta set up the OT. You got about a minute, Rob. Set it up, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, we still got a lot more sports to talk. So if you want to click on the same link on tomorrow, you get all of our football coverage. It's going to be on our OT portion. So you get our predictions. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We'll have that for you. We're going to go right into that OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you that portion of our show live. So please click on the same link on tomorrow for that information. Next week, we'll be back on the air live Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. In Honolulu, 5 p.m. Good night, people.
So foolish. Joe Maddon is doing his best to try to get kicked out of this game. I missed the play today in this review, but he is warm, buddy, and they're doing everything they can to keep him kicking about this game. Good to see you, good people.
He's been arguing for about 5 minutes, seemed like.
Yeah, he clowning. Appreciate you guys calling in. Holler at you next week.
Yes, sir. Wrap it up, Mike.
I'm really nervous right now. I don't know what just happened when I just went into the bathroom and got a drink. It was 3-2. And
whoa. Wait a minute. Wait. How did you go into the bathroom and get a drink?
Man. Oh, man. I'm going to have to question
go into the bathroom and.
That's a bad place to get a drink.
And
do you have a bar?
I needed a five-minute break.
Be careful what you're drinking in the bathroom, dude.
I'm just saying. That question had to be asked.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, man. I appreciate you throwing me back under the bus.
I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus, bro. We're just trying to clarify what happened. We gave you a chance to say what's happening, bro. That's all. Oh, man.
I've had a long work day today. I just needed a drink.
Okay, you're good. All right, we're going to let Mike get out of that one. All right. Really quickly, Rob, before we get too caught up here, because I don't think we get to all the topics too. Do you want to do some fantasy shout outs real quickly, bro? I do want to get that.
Yeah,
in there.
Let's do that.
All
right, let me pull up that information for listeners real quick.
Wait, Rob, you don't have this all right in your brain?
Well, I had everything in order. Andre kind of pulled a fast one on me, so I.
That's right. Sucker.
Come on, Rob, you're killing me here. I thought you were just a stat machine in your mind.
Oh, man.
You got to be on your toes, Rob. I said, tell me, bro, you got to be prepared at all times, man.
All right, let's come back to the fantasy shout-outs. Let me get my notes together. Let's go to
this Joker. You're even talking about me being prepared. So, all right, you see.
That's coming from me.
All right, I'm ready. I'm ready. We can go to finish out. All right.
Now he's ready. Here we go.
League number one, the biggest win of the week. Our co-host JQ, Ohio Players, 187.80 over Bristol Bombers, 105.04. Yours truly, Black and Gold, 6-0 in first place in league number one. League number two. JQ again with the biggest win of the week. Ohio Players
yes,
over
Kev
23, 190.90 to 91.80. Other co-host Andre in first place. Playoffs 6-0 in league number two.
Yes, sir.
League number three, the biggest win of the week. Saints Pelicans 23. There's Larry from Houston with a 147.44 to 95.32 win over Irvin's team. Yours truly, Louisiana Spartans in first place, 6-0 in league number three. League number four, the biggest win of the week, Joe from Houston. Birds flew south. He's an Eagles fan. That's where the birds come from. 139.24. He beat my team, actually. 139.24 to 104.02. He's also in first place with a 5-1 record in league number four. Those are your fantasy shout-outs of the week.
Yes, sir. I've got the best scoring in all three leagues, and I'm not in first place in any of them. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, we are going to have one of those leagues, Rob. Make sure to have a points only because that was fun, too. So the team with the most points because that's fun, too. So
yeah.
I know we can have
and
like
that
the,
league
the
is no playoffs. So whoever got the most points at the week 17 is the winner.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, we've done that. That was plenty fun too. But yeah, it's just you straight points, but it's all good. All right, it's good to see that. Thank you for the shout outs, man. Because I'm just happy because you know again I'm holding it down, and this is a shout out to you, Mike. Because again, I was scared, man. Because after losing Aaron Rodgers, man, I'm like, oh man, I don't know how I'm gonna. And I just barely survived a couple things too, man. So it's been one of those weeks, man. So we'll get on that a little later on too. Wrapping up the NBA talk here really quickly. We got to be really fast on these topics. We got to fly through these. Are the Houston Rockets Are the Houston Rockets a legitimate challenger to the Golden State? JQ, go.
No, because
the
they won one.
Like,
but you got to be 4-7. You got to be in 4-7. And I just until I see it, I won't believe it. I say no.
Yep, we say no, Rob.
As long as Golden State is healthy, nobody in the league can beat them. So the answer would be no.
As long as Golden State is healthy, no one can beat them. There you go, Marsh. Hope you appreciate that. Shout out. She's over here yelling in the background. No. All right. That's just her. I'm just telling you straight up. Is LeBron James a clutch player is the question. So, Rob, go.
I'm going to say yes. I mean, I think most of his career he's been considered as being not clutch. But I can go back to way back to 2007 when he eliminated Detroit Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals in game-winning buzzer shots. You go back to when he beat Golden State in the Finals, the clutch block at the end of the game. Obviously, he finished last night. He's made a lot of game-winning plays to help his team win over the years. It's hard to believe that he's been in the league for 14 years and still in his prime. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, because his body of work, I mean, maybe not always just clutch at the end of games, but clutch in terms of he's been to like 43 straight finals. So, I mean, you got to give him the nod in terms of being able to will his team to get him there. And they may not always win the big prize, but you can't win the big prize if you're not on the dance floor, so to speak. So, you know, I give him credit for that. He's a phenomenal player.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Hey, Drake, can I have a few seconds?
Yeah, go ahead.
As big of a Michael Jordan fan and the Michael Jordan versus LeBron debate, I say LeBron's absolutely a clutch player. He may not always make the big shot. He makes everybody around him better. Do I think he's better than Jordan? No. But he's a clutch player. If you're drafting everybody in the league right now, if he's not the number one pick, you're a fool.
There it is.
Nice.
All right. We're moving on to our next subject about Draymond. I got Chubbs like Draymond. Let's keep this going here. Is he the most important player on the Golden State Warriors? I just had to throw that in there, man. A little Drake lyrics here. I feel like your boy Von Miller with that too. But it's all good. You know, Chubbs like Draymond. Oh man. I guess, is he the most important player on Golden State? That's for you, Rob.
Well, you know, I think he's that glue that really that kind of helps that team stay together. Obviously, is he their number one weapon? No, we all understand that. But for some reason, when he's not playing, that team just doesn't seem the same from a defensive standpoint. And, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit, but he's also a great passer as well. He's got a very high IQ of the game. It's hard to say that he's the most important piece of that team, but, you know, you can definitely see a difference from an inspirational standpoint, from a defensive standpoint. And like I said, you miss out on, having another player that's got a high IQ on the court. And, you know, they don't really have a strong interior presence. He kind of helps them to have a little bit of an edge and a little bit of nastiness to him. So he's definitely a very important piece that kind of glues that team together. But it's still kind of hard to say he's the most important piece, though.
Nope.
Go ahead,
Jakey. Nope. You don't know? Nope. Because it don't matter if you got the glue if you ain't got no paper to put the glue in between to make them stick together. Without Steph, without Kevin Durant, he'd just be Kevin Love in Minnesota. So, nope. Uh-oh. He's important, but he's not
the most
important.
Well, he wouldn't
be
that good.
Well, I mean, yeah, probably not. But you know what I'm saying. No. He's important, but not the most important.
He's not. I'm kind of split between JQ and Rob there. He's not the most important player.
I didn't say he was the most important player either.
The basketball IQ that Rob said is a big factor in the equation there, and he gets it done when he's not on the floor. I agree with Rob 100%. When he's not on the floor, that team's not the same. He's the enforcer in the middle. Without him, can they win? Yeah, they can win. But he's the – you know, again, going back to my days back, you know, loving the Bulls, he's the Rodman of the second three-peat. He's the Horace Grant of the first three-peat.
Nice.
Okay.
Good analogy. Yeah, I mean,
when I was just talking a moment ago, Dennis Rodman kind of popped into my head a little bit. I mean, he's a little bit better scorer than Dennis Rodman, But, you know, that type of play. I don't know if he's the rebounder that Dennis Rodman was.
But
that name
not.
Did come
Rodman,
to mind a little while ago.
Rodman,
and you can go back to the finals 2 years ago when he got suspended. Golden State never recovered that series. And obviously they didn't have Kevin Durant on that team. But, you know, they never did recover from that finals
but
when
he
got kicked out.
But I do agree with Jaquan in the same place that if you don't have the paper on the floor,
glue don't matter.
It is what it is.
Yeah, Portland beating the stew out of Phoenix, 98-55.
Good Lord.
Beat the stew out of them. I like that, Rob. I like that.
Wow. I agree. Well, just to kind of wrap this up, too, not the most important player,
Bird,
but he's definitely a key cog in that,
still
too.
In Minnesota.
What'd you say, Rob?
Spurs finishing off Minnesota, 107-99.
See, those are games you got to win if you're Minnesota, if Kawhi Leonard's not playing. You got to win those games.
Sure do. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right. This is a tough next topic, too, because, again, I had to think hard about this one, Magic or LeBron. And
no,
I'm going to let for you, of course, know this, too. So, JQ, go ahead, bro. You spoke first. Kick it off, bro.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not hard. It's Magic Johnson. I mean, he and Larry Bird saved the NBA. He got 5 rings. This dude came in and had like 40 points, 16 rebounds, and 9 assists playing center in his rookie year to win the title.
Yeah.
Come on. It's Magic Johnson. LeBron is phenomenal. It's not to say LeBron isn't phenomenal, but it's Magic Johnson. Sorry.
Who was the question? LeBron or Magic?
Magic or LeBron. That's the question. And the reason why
I'll be short and quick.
Go ahead.
Magic all day.
Yeah. Rob.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think Magic Johnson is the second best player that I've ever seen after Michael Jordan. So I would have to say, you know, Magic made everybody on this team so much better. Not to say LeBron hasn't. You know, I think in my latest NBA rankings, I had LeBron ranked somewhere around 4th or 5th out of the players that I've ever seen play. But I still have Magic number 2. From a longevity standpoint, and maybe it's because LeBron came straight out of high school, Magic played 2 years in college. Obviously, LeBron has been in his prime for 14 years. So Magic, you know, did not last that long from a longevity standpoint, and LeBron's still going. So he still has a chance. But as of now, no, Magic's the second best player I've ever seen play in the NBA.
What I was saying, too, and, I mean, I'm going to go Magic, too, but I was saying it was hard because you got to think about, was Magic a superstar as LeBron was? I mean, as far as the way the league is set up. So that's kind of where I thought about that, too. But
No doubt.
He's not the athlete that LeBron is, but from an overall impact on the game.
I'm not talking about impact, I'm talking about like, the league and everything like that, too. I'm missing the point.
Yes, I heard your question. I heard your question. The answer is yes. The thing is, LeBron has more media available to him now in 2017.
Sure,
Magic
indeed.
Was still that dude then at that time. He only could be as big as
the
media could be. I mean, that's really what it is. We just have so much more exposure to these guys now that we forget about how it was before we had that exposure. Well, at the time where he had just that media access, he was it. Him and Larry Bird was it. Yes, I still believe that he was every bit as big as LeBron was in his day. He just didn't have that kind of media market that we have now.
Yeah.
Well,
I love Magic.
I agree with you. As much as it pains me to say it, LeBron might be the most athletic basketball player I've ever seen. I don't think he's the best basketball player I've ever seen.
I can give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Dre.
Like I said, it wasn't – I'm 100% like Magic was amazing, bro, playing 5 positions, just changing. I mean, you never saw a guy that was 6'9 that could move and like, play point guard. I mean, then you talk about Kenny Hardaway. That's whenever you had that. That's when they was like, this dude was coming out of court, had handles, had vision, played 5 positions. I am not knocking him, but that's – I want to make sure that you understand that I'm in your corner, JQ. I was just – when that first came out, I was like, huh, I was – you know, because there's some things I thought about, but as far as what, you know, but again, LeBron has never had this opportunity to play. He can play a couple positions, but I'm not going to say he's ever going to play center. But the way that, you know, whenever Magic, hey, let me play center. that was just phenomenal, bro. So, again, I'm giving Magic 100% the nod in that scenario.
Let Magic or Michael or one of those guys play in the social media area or era when they got that much more attention on them. Come on.
I'm sorry, Dre. I didn't mean to. I got you. I feel you.
Yeah, I kind I agree with all of you. But, yes. Most athletic, LeBron's probably got it. Best basketball player, no way.
Yeah, from a freak of nature standpoint, I don't know if the league has ever seen the athlete that LeBron James is. And as we talked about earlier, some of the things he's done is the NBA Finals. We've never seen nobody else do that before. But, from an overall standpoint, from a basketball impact standpoint, I still have to rate Magic ahead of LeBron at this stage. Now, LeBron's not done, but at this stage, Magic is, in my opinion, the second best.
Easily.
Dre, can we go to 15 and 16? Can we go to 15 and 16?
Yeah.
No, because we're Aaron Rodgers, then we got the Saints and the Packers as the predictions, which I got to hear with Rob and Mike on the call. I got to hear that.
All right, so that was an interesting thing as far as the biggest industry with Aaron Rodgers, and we had a lot of feedback about this because it was bad for the league as far as Aaron going down. And I don't think it was a dirty play, and that's from my perspective. Now, Mike, I could be off. We'd love to hear your thoughts about this too. Just one of those things. This is a huge blow for the Packers, and anytime a team loses their quarterback, you can say the same thing too. But what's this? How do you feel about this? And your thoughts about that, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me lead this off. I've said to JQ already, there was nothing dirty about that play. If that was Clay Matthews hitting any one of the other quarterbacks in the league, I would have been like, hell yeah. Way to make him hurt. That's a linebacker, a defensive end. That's their job. Make a quarterback intimidated if they get out of the pocket. It wasn't a dirty play. There's a lot of whiny Packer fans out there that want to say, oh, it was a dirty play. He drove him into the ground. He didn't drive him into the ground. He made a good hit on him. Aaron got rid of the ball probably a little too late. The hit came when it did. He took one step, maybe one and a half at the most, but anybody that's complaining about him taking – 2 steps is full of shit, as far as I'm concerned. It was a good play. He didn't drive him into the ground. He you look at the replay. He rolled over the top of him. He wasn't trying to hurt him. Barr, they can say what they want about that dude. He's had some flagrant personal fouls on him. I don't look at that play as a dirty play at all. It's football. It's a violent game. People get hurt. It's a tough break for the Packers, who were a legit Super Bowl favorite. I don't look at the fact that they got beat the rest of the game too seriously. I think they can come back. They can possibly beat New Orleans at home this week. They got the bye week after that. Their offensive line is hurt. Their secondary is hurt right now. They can if they can somehow scrape a win out of this week and get to the bye, get some people healthy, all they need to do is win, five more. If they can win this next week at home and win 5 more games, they got a legit shot at making the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers may or may not come back, but the reality is the Packers have invested a 4th or 5th round pick on this dude Hundley that they've been pretty high on as a backup quarterback for Rodgers. They could make the playoffs and do some damage. They may not at all. Like I said, I took my 2 days of mourning, and I'm not hating on anybody. I think football's, like I said, a violent game, and sometimes things happen.
Nice. All right. Impact on that, JQ. Follow it up, bro.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you can't underestimate that. He makes a lot of things better for that team and masks some of those deficiencies that Mike just talked about in the secondary, because you never feel like you're out of the game as long as Aaron Rodgers is going to get the ball back with a chance to win the game for your team. I saw it happen to my team firsthand at Lambeau. So I can attest to the fact that you're not out of the game with him as your quarterback. So not having him there,
yeah,
beyond his ability to do that, but also just, like you said, make other people play better and to mask some other deficiencies,
yep,
due to his greatness, is you just can't underestimate that. And I agree. You got to see what you got in Hundley. You've invested this time in him. You spent the pick on him. They have been high on him. And I've seen him in preseason and some spot things here and there, and he's looked decent. You know, when you lose Rodgers, it's deflating. It's like, you know, it's not as gruesome as Hayward, but it's just as deflating, you know, when you get a guy that just means so much to your team, have him go out and you're not expecting it, not that you ever would, but to have that happen and know that he's really banged up and to try to come back and win that game against a good defense in Minnesota, that's tough. Let's see what he does against New Orleans. I'm sorry, I wanted to jump to this because I wanted to hear them talk about that prediction between the Saints and the Packers, but you can't underestimate that. I just want to see what Hundley's got. I mean, he's got weapons. Like Mike said, they got a bye week to get that offensive line healthy, which is huge for Hundley. Even outside of that secondary, getting that offensive line together so they can run the ball with Montgomery and Aaron Jones, so they can block for him, so he can use those weapons on the outside. I want to see what Hundley's got.
Wow. All right, Rob.
Well, yeah, obviously, not only for the Packers, but this is a big blow to the National Football League to lose a player of that caliber. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, one of the stars in the league. And as a football fan, you want to see him playing. And so I'm one of those, you know, I hate to see any team, even my arch rivals, lose their stars or lose any players. You know, I don't root for players to get hurt. And so, obviously, this is a big blow to the National Football League from an entertaining standpoint going forward for the rest of the season. And obviously this is 2 weeks in a row. I mean, you lose Odell Beckham Jr., you lose J.J. Watt.
Yep.
We've seen just here over the last couple of weeks some really big names in the NFL go down, which is not good for the league, obviously, and not good for us as fans that are entertained by watching the sport. So obviously this is a big blow. And, you know, for the Green Bay Packers, you really just hate to see that.
Yeah. Or, you know,
Trey, before you say what you need to say, Rob just reminded me, let me just say, my big money fantasy football league, in the last 3 weeks, I've lost Dalvin Cook, Odell Beckham, and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, gosh.
So my,
yeah.
Forgot about Dalvin Cook, even though he's a rookie, you know.
Yeah.
You still want to see those players play.
That's one of those.
Hey, you know what I mean?
Not play with
anyway,
Mike in the league, bro.
Trey, sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good. I was just saying, let's not play with Big Mike in the league, man, because that's terrible, man. All right. All good, man. So let's talk about that game. Saints and Packers. Big Mike, start us off, man. Who wins, bro?
I think you're going to see a different game than what you saw, you know, a different Brett Hundley than what you saw coming in, you know, an emergency situation early in the game with no preparation all week. I think New Orleans defense is susceptible. They beat the shit out of my arch rivals, the Lions, last week. I think they can be beat. I think we got a game at home. Rob, I don't mean to offend you, but I think it's going to be a close game. I'd like to see the Packers win. I'm hopeful that the Packers can win the game and go into the bye week and get some folks healthy on our team. I'm saying close game. I'm going to say 24-23 Packers.
Wow. Rob.
Okay.
I tell you what, a lot of what Big Mike has said, I agree with. And I think from the standpoint of the Saints, first couple of games of the season, they looked like the worst team in the league. Now all of a sudden they've gone on a three-game winning streak where they've won all three by double digits. And the defense is playing a lot better than any of us could have ever expected. First, you know, they beat Cam Newton. You just think, Cam just had a bad game. You know, maybe he was colorblind that day or something. And then, you know, next week played Jay Cutler, and it's like, oh, well, it's Jay Cutler, you know, can't write too much on the defense. And then, of course, you know, Matthew Stafford this past week, you know, forcing five turnovers and things of that. And defense scored three touchdowns in a game against Detroit. And but I do agree. I don't think we're going to see the same Brent Huntley we saw this past week against Minnesota. Mike McCarthy is going to have a full week to really game plan and utilize his strengths a lot better. And so from that standpoint, it's a little scary for me as a Saints fan, because I don't know if you can know what, you know, you don't have enough film to really game plan on what Mike McCarthy is going to do this week. But I'm picking the Saints to go on the road and win this game in a really close game, just based on the fact that I do think early on Saints are going to see some things that they haven't seen. But I think as the game goes along, they'll adjust to what Mike McCarthy is trying to do with Brent Huntley, and we'll go on the road and get this win. But if Aaron Rodgers were playing, I would not be picking the Saints, that's for sure.
You got a score, Rob? What's your score take?
I'm going to say 27-23. Saints won a close one. I know they were winning by double digits, but I think this one's going to be a close one on the road.
That's fair.
Go, JQ. Yeah.
I know. I've been to Lambeau now and that atmosphere, and for what they all just said about having a week to prepare with the backup quarterback and have a game plan tailored to his strengths and to try to hide some of his weaknesses. Man, listen, that Marshawn Lattimore versus Jordy Nelson matchup is going to be the key to it if we want to talk about it. Because Lattimore, real quiet, like, has come in and solidified that number one quarterback spot for the Saints.
Man, he has been awesome. I have to give Ohio State credit.
He has, and that's not me being a homer. He's been flat out fantastic. He's been as good as every bad as Von Bell has been bad. So it's not a full, you know, Ohio State just doing the big for the Saints. But I just can't take Brett Huntley over Drew Brees. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers find a way to try more, play more ball control and run and short pass the game and screens and have Montgomery and Jones be the focal point. But I can't bet against Drew Brees against Brett Hundley. I think it's a close game, too. I'm going to say 28-24 in New Orleans. Sorry, Mike.
Wow.
No worries.
Wow. I'm going to side with Mike and go with Packers just because of the home field advantage and the emotional. So they're going to rally, I think, and we'll see how that plays out for sure. And only because I definitely think the Saints defense is susceptible to being playable, too. So it's going to be tough. But it's going to be a good game, too. Next game we're going to call, Falcons at Patriots. I'm going to come out and start this one. And I'm going to say that I think that was very disappointing, man, to get beat by the Dolphins. I'm going to come out and say that, too, because I had everything you talked about as far as freaking not closing and every fear that we decide has come through, too. I would say that after that game, you would think that, you know, this, you know, we'd be like, take the Patriots. But I'm kind of thinking it's going to be strange because I think they're going to get up for this game in a weird way. They're going to try to, like, beat the Patriots and say we won the season, but it's not going to make it better. It's not going to erase anything that's going to happen, you know, but they have to really put some work in. If they play like they did this past Sunday, they're going to lose 100%. So if they're up for it, then they have a capability. If they're like, we're going to go in, this is, you know, they're going to play up to the competition, then they can pull it off too, because I definitely think that they can score a little bit better than the Patriots, because the Patriots defense is not that great. You know, so again, that's my two cents, even though if they play down, this is easily Patriots 100%. So I'm not confident by any means by the imagination too. So I'm just coming out and saying that too. So I wouldn't be surprised if they lost, but I'm just saying if they play up competition, then they can pull it off too. So that's me. I don't even go next, JQ.
Yeah, very disappointing. Yeah, I know. And they're 0-2 now versus the AFC East. And the Falcons were winning some games early. They got a little lucky in Detroit. They got really lucky in Chicago. And sometimes those things start to even out. It's tough. These games I can see going either way, because that Patriots defense is hot trash on a platter on a hot August day. But do they lose to both Kansas City and Atlanta at home? In prime time, yeah. I think you find a way. I think the Patriots, I think you see a lot of Mike Gillisley and a lot more ball control and trying to keep Matt Ryan and that offense off the field, not to kill the Atlanta defense. I know I'm making people mad. I'm sorry, go host. But I think the Patriots 31-21.
Yeah, I can see that. Either or. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I think the thing that we all realize on the year, the Patriots always start off slow. And as the season goes along, Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, they start to put it together as the season goes along. And, yes, their defense, I think by the end of the year, will be better than what it is now. And I think that's what's going to keep this game somewhat close is the Patriots' defense. I think this game is going to be somewhat of a shootout. But we all know as the season goes along, the Patriots are just going to get better. That's just what happens. We ought to expect it. And from week to week, you're going to see them get a little bit better. But I think this game is going to be close. It's going to be a shootout. But I think the Patriots win at home 35-31.
We're going to score. Ooh. Okay, my bad. Good. Go ahead, Big Mike.
Rob, one of the few times I got to disagree with you. I think I'm going to go against the grain here. I think the Falcons are not the team we've seen over the last 3 weeks since they whipped the Packers' ass in week two. I think the Falcons are pissed off, and they're going to go up there and surprise some people. I think the Patriots' defense is shit. I'm going to say I think they're shit. They got the home field.
Well, I have Atlanta scoring 31 points on them.
I agree. I think this is going to be a shootout, just like you said. And in my mind, I had 35-31 Falcons.
Hmm. All good. All good. I like it. Good call.
I think this is the week the Falcons right the ship. They're too good of a team to keep playing the way they've been playing.
That's interesting on both games so far. JQ and I agree, and Andre and Big Mike agreed on both games.
Right.
Big Mike, the Patriots are going to be all right. But I think the Patriots got one more week of suffering, and then they may take the league by storm for the next 6 weeks or something like that. But I feel like the Falcons got something to prove now, and the Patriots just aren't. There's just not something right about the Patriots. There's not been something right about the Falcons, but I feel like the Falcons got too much firepower, and I'm agreeing with you on the score, Rob, 35-31. But I think it's the Falcons that win that.
Well, everybody's gonna think Mike Lowry gonna be all right.
Oh, man, I love it. Hey, Mike, you can join the show any week, bro. Remember that, okay? Just call in, bro. I got you, man. It's all good, man. Okay.
I was supposed to hang up like 30 minutes ago, man. I've got an early day again tomorrow, but Jaquan's been texting me the whole time, telling me, "Man, you gotta stay on. You gotta stay on."
You see, that's just a lie.
I got you. We're going to wrap up.
Or maybe it's just the fact that I love y'all. I appreciate the escape from reality sometimes.
Absolutely. Always welcome.
Like I said, we'll wrap up too because I know it's getting kind of late, and I know we got to get up too. And, my head, like I said, I've been dealing with a little migraine, so it's all good. But just wrapping it up here, let's do the last game, the Eagles and the Redskins. And the Redskins are actually playing at the Eagles, so let's kick this off. Big Mike, I'll let you start this one off, bro. Your thoughts?
The Eagles look like one of the hottest teams in the league. I think they win this game 31-20.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Just like that, huh? Enough? All right.
Yep.
Rob, go ahead.
I agree. I had 31-21, so very close to Big Mike's score. Eagles playing, as of right now, they're playing like the best team in the NFC. Carson Wentz, MVP candidate thus far. Really progressed from year one to year two. I mean, right now they're playing phenomenal football, really on both sides of the football. I like the Eagles in this game, even though the Redskins have been playing well lately, too.
Yeah, just so you know, Mike, Cubs win 3-2. To stay alive.
Yeah,
there it is. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna also go with the Eagles. I think we're all in lockstep there. I'm just gonna point out the fact that you got Breland who's hurt, and you don't know if Josh Norman is gonna play, and if he plays, how healthy is he with a broken rib trying to come off of that? And you talk about Carson Wentz with those weapons stepping up, with Aguilar finally living up to a first-round pick. You also got Alshon Jeffery. You also got Torrey Smith. You also got Zach Ertz. And then LeGarrette Blount as well. I'm going to go with that Eagles offense against a banged-up secondary for the Redskins, playing at home, 34-21 Eagles.
Yeah, I agree with all those points, too. Eagles all the way. Carson's playing fantastic. He's got a lot of confidence, too, gentlemen. So right now, that's one thing that's on the up. And right, so the Redskins, they're still trying to figure out a couple things, too. Rob, really quickly, bro, I don't know why you threw this topic in there about Villanova basketball. I'm going to let you have this moment and then wrap up the show, man, because I'm not even sure what this was about, bro. So,
bro. College basketball season getting ready to start. Obviously, Villanova were national champions a couple of seasons ago. And, of course, you know, I can't make it all about my Tar Heels all the time. So we got to pick another contending team. They're the odds-on favorite to win the Big East again. Obviously, they lose Josh Hart. But, of course, you got junior guard Jalen Brunson, who's going to be a clear front runner for the Naismith Award. Last year, averaging 16.1 points on 55.9% shooting. And that's a point guard shooting 55.9% shooting. I look for his stats to even go up this year. He should be in the categories of 20 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, somewhere around there. And then they get former 5-star big man Amari Spellman back in the mix this year. He's going to give them a strong, dynamic presence down low. So they're going to be right in the hunt for the national title again. Of course, Duke is going to be in the mix. And, again, this year, hopefully they're not because I hate them. But, yeah, Villanova is obviously the odds-on favorite for the Big East title again.
Well, I'll let you have all that, yeah, for sure. I'm a Nike person myself. But I'm just trying to figure out how I can get on with the Adidas team because, I mean, damn, the Adidas team is having a lot of fun. They buying people. They got, you know, hookers and drinks and just acting up and clowning. I mean, whoever's going with Adidas, I think I'm just going to go with them because, you know, they got more to – they got stuff to lose and they got a lot of incentive to win.
Yeah, he's lying. You're trying.
Hey, man, listen, they are doing it big. So whoever – I'm going with any team that's got Adidas as their sponsor. That's a national program.
JQ has the comment.
Looks like the Rockets are about to be 2-0 already.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Now Chris Paul tonight.
Wow. Well, hey, really quickly, there's two games for college predictions. Let's knock this out. I know I lied about that because I'm not sure if the lady's going to cut me off. Really quickly, Michigan at Penn State, who's going to pull this off, JQ?
Saquon Barkley and the Nittany Lions win. That Michigan offense is hot trash again on the platter.
Yep.
I just they can't. I don't like Penn State either. I mean, I'm hoping we end in a 0-0 tie, but that's just not possible. So I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley. If there's anything about it, I'm going to take the team that has the best player on the field, and that's Saquon Barkley. That dude's a stud for sure. If you haven't seen me play, check him out. That dude is just a monster. I think Penn State wins at home.
Rob.
I agree for all the same reasons. Michigan struggling offensively, starting quarterback out for the season. And then they're going against Saquon Barkley. Trace McSorley is not bad at all either. So it's definitely Penn State. I mean, right now they're top four. Right now they're number two in the country. They're clearly a top four, top five team in the country right now. They win at home.
You agree? You want it to end in a 0-0 tie, too? You're saying the same thing with that, too, as well, Rob?
No, I'm not going to say, you know, I don't hate those teams as much as JQ does. You know, the teams that I hate is more Alabama, Auburn. Well, at least my Tigers were able to come back and beat Auburn this past weekend. And,
big win.
And then we got to beat Ole Miss this weekend. You know, those are the teams I hate.
Wow.
Can they beat
like them? Can they beat them, Rob, is the question.
What's that?
I said, can they beat them this weekend?
Who, LSU?
Yeah.
Against Ole Miss? Yeah, I think LSU win that game at home. I think they're starting to play better. I think the defense is starting to come around.
I love it.
Yeah. LSU is a young team this year, but I think defensively they're starting to look like that second half against Auburn. Their defense started to look like LSU defense from the last few years. So hopefully they're starting to come around.
Yeah, I think that's the matchup there. Them against Shea Patterson. Those wide receivers from Ole Miss. But I think LSU wins. I think they've right back ship and they've gone through that storm. And watch out down the stretch. You know, LSU always has a lot of talent. They just can't sign consistent quarterback play. But that defense plays like it played against Auburn in that second half, definitely beats Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, problem. LSU's has had a ton of injuries on the offensive line, and Darius Geis hasn't really been healthy this year either. So, starting to get some of that offensive line healthy and getting Geis back hopefully healthy. Hopefully they'll become a little bit better on the offensive side of the ball too.
Okay. Here we go. USC at North, Mike, you have anything to say about that? My bad. Anything to say to that? Michigan?
Penn State. Penn State wins by 14. LSU wins by 7.
Okay.
USC, Notre Dame.
You said we're running out of time. I'm trying to make my points short and quick.
Yeah, you're fine.
There you go.
Yeah, I just want to wrap this up. You literally went 12 people in this past.
Very tired.
I was I don't know if the ladies could cut us off at any point. That's why I'm not really sure.
Oh,
so that's
yeah.
Why I'm like,
true.
Even though, let me just add a caveat that I would love to see Michigan take Penn State.
we all would love that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
We all would not love that.
I would.
Man. Well, you know where I stand. Go ahead. Go ahead.
With those Badgers hanging around that 6 or 7 or whatever they're at right now.
Right.
USC Notre Dame.
Which, for the record, I don't think the Badgers got a shot in hell at the national title. But, anything that gets them into a big game, I'd love to see it.
Yep.
No, fair enough. USC at Notre Dame. I'm just not super impressed like everybody else is with Sam Darnold. He's making so many mistakes with the ball. I think he's still living off of hype. That Jones kid at running back, I think that's his last name, is just flat out spectacular, though. But I don't want to pick USC. It's another one of those games where I wish it would end in a 0-0 tie because I don't like either one of those teams. But I'm just not a believer in Notre Dame. I just can't pick them. I don't think they are going to do it. I mean, they've been playing better. Yeah, I give them that. But I still feel like USC still has too much speed on that team overall and too much more talent. If Darnold can just pull his head out as you know what and stop making terrible decisions with the ball those 2 or 3 times a game, I think they could walk Notre Dame if they wanted to, but they won't. I feel like they win by 6, 2 field goals.
Wow. All right. Rob.
Cop out.
USC has clearly underachieved this year, and Sam Darnold, of course, being a part of that mix as well. This was a team that we thought were going to, well, at least I thought, had an opportunity to contend. Not say that I thought they would win a national title, but at least contend. Be that team from the Pac-12 to make the playoffs and had a run at it from a talent standpoint. But they have underachieved big time this season. I haven't been impressed with that one game I've seen them play this year. I actually think Notre Dame is going to upset them, if we call it an upset. Like I said, because USC has not lived up to their capabilities this season at all. And I think from this, USC still doesn't have the depth that what we used to saw under the Pete Carroll era. They're still not quite there yet. When you look at their starters and things of that nature, they have the personnel, but they don't have the depth yet. And I think Notre Dame finds a way to win this game in a close one. 3-point victory.
Wow. Wow. Anything to add to that?
Wow. Yep, I agree. I'm picking Notre Dame in that game. I'm going to say 6. I think they got – let's go back to that word resolve. I think Notre Dame has got the intangibles. I'm picking Notre Dame by 6.
How are you going to say cop-out for picking 6 and then you pick 6 in the opposite direction?
Because you said 2 field goals. You said by 2 field goals. I'm talking about they score a touchdown and get up by 6.
But that means an extra point.
And just because, JQ, just because I give you shit anytime I can.
See, it's the same point difference. What difference does it make? A 6-point.
I love it.
The fact that you're putting the game on the leg of a punk ass kicker.
Come on, Mike.
I love it. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure showing up for the battle with you. As always, thank you for talking sports with me. I'm going to throw it out to Rob to end up and get your shout outs, JQ and Mike the Raptor. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, this is probably officially our longest show ever, an hour and 30 minutes.
So.
It's been fun. I think so. You know, time flies when you're having fun. So we appreciate all of you all for tuning in. Hopefully we gave you some great information to get you prepared for the upcoming NBA season, this upcoming week in college football, this upcoming week in the National Football League. So join us on next Wednesday night. We'll have some more powerful information in the sports world for you, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Appreciate all y'all for hanging tough with us. Thank you for calling in, Mike. Always makes the show that much more enjoyable. Not just not enjoyable without him, but, you know, that much more enjoyable. Catch us next week. Holla at y'all.
Yep, yep.
Love y'all, man. Appreciate you having
me. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Call it anytime. Gentlemen, ladies, and Rob said probably one of our longest shows, too, family. So we had fun. Till the next time, we will catch you. Please be safe out on the streets, everyone, gentlemen. Until the next time, call in. We'll keep it going. Good night, people.
Good night.
Yes, thank you, Dre, for hanging in.
Good night. Yep, yep.
Get some rest.
Yep, yep.